Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey guys, we're going to do a shorter Sunday podcast this week because it's just me, Tony, because Adam is on vacation in Pennsylvania. So I just want to talk about some quick hitter thoughts on the first two preseason games, as well as some league-wide news, and just talk about the team a little bit in a shorter fashion and review how we're kind of going to do it during the season with these shorter groupings. For housekeeping first, me and Adam will, of course, be on tomorrow when he's back. We'll be talking about the Pistons game tomorrow night. I also have switched from 8.9 seconds to Hoops Habit, so if you want to keep up with my work, you should switch over to there. Also, this episode, as every episode is sponsored by SeatGeek, and now we have two codes. You can use the code LONBA at checkout for $20 off your first purchase, or the code LOCKED, LOCKED, for the same $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. So now you can do it twice. But let's get right to it. I think we should start with some general NBA news that kind of affects the Pacers. Adam Silver, when in China this week for the Timberwolves-Warriors game, talked about reformatting the playoff seeding to, instead of being the top eight teams in the East and the top eight teams in the West are in two separate conferences, to just be a 1-16 style. And he didn't explicitly say this, but it kind of sounds like that would be, you could have an imbalance of 10 teams from one conference and six from the other. If that's how it shook out to be, it would just be the 16 best records. This would affect the Pacers in just that they're a smaller market team, so it's easier for them to make it in the conference schedule because the East is a little easier, except it really isn't that big of a deal just because it's usually, you know, maybe one team would have gotten in that wouldn't. So it's not like a huge impacting change, but it does make sense. But within that, Silver said himself, because it's not a balanced schedule and teams in the East play East teams more and teams in the West play West teams more, it would involve a large schedule change and they might reduce the number of games. So if something like that were to happen, it would be quite a bit down the line in the future, but something to look out for and something interesting to talk about, just because, you know, some team in the West always gets upset because they don't make the playoffs, even though they have a better record than the last East team. So maybe that'll come into effect. Maybe it won't. But let's talk about Pacers basketball. Last week, they played the Bucks in their first preseason game, but I don't want to say the Bucks. I'm going to call them the Bucks C team. Giannis Antetokounmpo did not play, and they kind of looked like a C team. You know, if you click on their ESPN box score, the first guy that pops up as their team leader in statistics is Gary Payton II, who played 20 minutes. And, you know, he's a fine player, but he's not, he probably won't ever be the statistical leader during the regular season. But the team looked like, you know, they were okay for a team that was a bunch of new guys just joining up together for the first time on the court. The starters specifically, Miles Turner shot 50%, 6-12 from the field, and was a plus 23 on his way to 17 points. He's always the guy you want to see looking good. Thaddeus Young was his normal cleanup self, plus 21 in 22 minutes. Victor Oladipo was only 6-15 in his Pacers debut. However, I liked that he was pushing the ball in transition, and he wasn't exactly creating for others, only 4 assists, second most in the starting lineup. But you could see with him pushing so much that, you know, he was going to be that transition threat, the guy they're trying to really look to get the ball to in those fast break situations. Darren Collison, 3-7, shot 50% from three in his return to the Pacers debut and was a team best plus 24 in his 22 minutes. I liked what I saw from him. He had 7 steals. That is awesome. You gotta like when you see that. He only had 10 points, but now you really care about when he has 7 steals when he's not the best defender. So that's very promising from Collison. Bojan Bogdanovic was just sort of there. Only 1-5 from 3, 2-7, plus 22, only 5 points. But, you know, promising game from the starters, but a lot of the bench guys were the guys that really stood out. Lance Stephenson, especially, you know, I've been harping all offseason about how I don't really like the fit of Lance Stephenson. I don't think he's going to be good because his last 2.5 NBA seasons have not been so good. But he was 7-14. He was a plus 2 in 25 minutes, and he played almost exclusively with bench guys. He led the team, well, tied for leading the team with 17 points, and he led the team with 6 assists. Something I liked that I saw quite a bit in that game was they'd run this play where from the short corner, they'd set a flare screen to get Stephenson the ball at the top of the key behind the three-point line. And the second he'd catch it without even looking for a shot, they'd go immediately into a pick-and-roll or pick-and-pop with Domantas Sabonis. And with the defense still scrambling to recover from the screen, Stephenson always had room to create or decide or make a decision on what to do with the screen. And it often led to either him or Sabonis or a shot for a kick-out was almost always there. Speaking of Sabonis, this was his first Pacers game. He was 3 of 11, not great. He was a minus 1, which you don't want to see that they were outscored without him, especially against the Bucks C team. But he shot 11 times, which was close to the tops of the team. You know, they were good looks. They just weren't falling for him. So he, you know, promising first game, just not the best. TJ Leaf played and looked like a rookie on defense. He got cooked quite a bit by every Bucks player. But 2 of 3 shooting, plus 3, 4 points, whatever. Nothing else really stood out of anyone else that played. Everyone else really played except for the training camp guys. And some of the training camp guys, Daquan Jones and Wilkins, both played. Wilkins, I guess you could say, stood out. He played 24 minutes. But that's kind of why he had a significant amount of stats, is because he played 24 minutes. I know the first time he caught the ball, I was interested to see if he'd be quick or slow based on, you know, just that he's old. And he caught it, and he immediately took a jab step to the left and got fouled and threw a shot up and hit both of his free throws. And he looked pretty fast. He cooked a guy on his way to the rim before the foul. So I was pretty impressed with Wilkins. I guess I should talk about Daquan Jones and Alex Poythress, two guys who aren't on the NBA roster but played. Poythress, the two-way guy, looked fine in his 9 minutes. Solid on defense, solid on offense. Didn't really do anything good or bad. He had a block. Daquan Jones played 3 minutes and was a minus 6 and literally did nothing. He had no counting stats. Nothing really important to talk about. But, you know, the fact that he got on the court before any of the other training camp guys is interesting. We should also note that Ike Enigbogu, Trey McKinney-Jones, and, of course, Glenn Robinson and Edmund Sumner did not play for injuries. So the only two guys who could have played but didn't were Jared at Utah and Ben Moore. So you don't really like to see that. But all in all, a good-looking performance in a 104-86 win in Milwaukee. You know, again, got to take all these games with a grain of salt and be cautiously optimistic just because they're not playing the best rosters ever. But regardless, I liked what I saw, and it was a promising thought going into the second game against the Cavs, which we'll talk about after this quick ad about SeatGeek. Guys, the wait is finally over. On Tuesday, the Pacers' first home game in the new stadium with the new, not new stadium, but the new court and the new jerseys and the new roster, everything. The first home game, you can see it all on Tuesday. Garth Brooks is finally out of Indianapolis doing all his concerts. And as much as everyone loves Garth Brooks, everyone is also excited for Pacers basketball. And now you can go see him by using SeatGeek. You could have used SeatGeek to go to Garth Brooks too, but they do ticket aggregating sites for everything. Concerts, sporting events, you name it, they got tickets for it. The best ticket aggregating site around, for sure, is SeatGeek. You can get a score for your ticket. It'll tell you what the best value you can possibly be getting is, so you ensure you're getting the best ticket. Or you can just get the cheapest one. You have both options. And the fees are already included in the final price, so you're not going to be surprised when you pay for your ticket at the end. And if you use the code LONBA at checkout, you'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. That's LONBA. And now, let's continue talking about the Pacers' preseason and their second game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Bucks game, there was obviously some optimism as they headed into the second game against the Cavs. I'm sure it was disappointing for at least some viewers that the Cavaliers did not play LeBron James because it's the preseason and it doesn't really matter. But it was hard to get a read on the Pacers, for me at least, because, you know, the first two games they played were against the Bucks and the Cavs, and neither of the best two guys on either team played. But one of the new signings for the Cavs, Dwayne Wade, looked incredible. 10 of 14 shooting, 20 points plus 4 in his 22 minutes. He looked really good. At the same time, the wing defense guarding him was not so hot, so that's not too encouraging. Miles Turner, once again, 50% shooting. That's both games. He shot 50%. He was a minus 8 with 12 points against the Cavs. Adam noted on Twitter, and I kind of agree with him, that his shot just kind of looks the same. He doesn't look like he's super improved in the jump shooting department, and it's obviously only been 2 preseason games, so I'm not going to be scared yet, but not good. Bojan Bogdanović, notably bad, 0 for 4 from 3. He has not been 1-9 in the preseason so far from the thing they signed him to do, which is very unencouraging. Darren Collison, 2 of 3 from the field, 4 points, minus 10, pretty meh game. Oladipo was the starter that I thought, again, was flashing the most with his transition pushing. He set 6 of 12, led the starters with 5 assists, 14 points. Pretty good game for him. You know, that's kind of what you want to see from him, being the creator, taking the most shots at the same time. You know, he's really kind of blending into this role of the leader of the offense, which I like. And Thaddeus Young was caretaker Thaddeus, 4 for 6 shooting, 8 rebounds. I mean, that's exactly what you want to see from him, you know, just doing the little things well. Minus 8, but that's all right because a lot of the starters were minus and they all played together. I should also note that Miles Turner only had 1 rebound, and I've commented all summer about how I think this team's defensive rebounding will not be very good. And this is kind of reinforcing my point that that is scary. They're going to have to really either pick up their defense or pick up their rebounding, just because, you know, it's going to be hard for them to stop those possessions if they can't. Domantas Sabonis finally put the ball in the basket after I said in that first game he couldn't really do it so well. He was 6 of 8 this time. He was even. He had 17 points. He looked awesome. He had 7 rebounds as well. 4 for 6 from the line. Sabonis is really coming into his own as a player. Him and Stevenson seem to be having some nice pick-and-roll chemistry. Speaking of Stevenson, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 of 12 shooting on his way to 13 points. just okay, but still doing his creation thing, running a lot of nice sets for him, which I liked. 25 minutes out of Wilkins again. This time looked like an old guy. 1 of 6 from the field, 0 for 4 from deep. Okay on defense, but I haven't said Corey Joseph's name yet on this podcast. He played 21 minutes, was 1 of 7, but a plus 12. He was nice and impactful on defense. He also had 5 assists and 3 boards. He looked okay for the backup point guard, which I like to see. Let's see. Now, oh yeah, TJ Leaf. You've probably been waiting for it. You already know about it. He had 18 points in the fourth quarter alone. He had 4 threes, 4 for 5 from deep overall, 2 of 2 from the line. Plus 11, he led the comeback that made the Pacers win the game 106-102. That was super encouraging from Leaf, considering he was been awful on the defensive end in both games and awful for the first 7 quarters of the preseason. But that quarter, he just lit it up, and hopefully you can kind of see those bursts from him in the pros, because that would make him super helpful, even as a rookie, if he's able to just go off randomly in a quarter and, you know, boost the team up like that. Same as the first game for the training camp guys, Poitras and Jones. 5 minutes for Poitras, 3 minutes for Jones. Once again, Jones had no counting stats except he had 1 assist. So maybe he's a creator now, LOL, just kidding. But nice to see him play a little bit. Poitras, 5 minutes, nothing too noteworthy for him. Al Jefferson at 8 minutes was a plus 12. That was really nice. He only shot once and made it, had 3 boards. He looked a little more spry than last year, which you like to see. And Joe Young in 5 minutes sunk both of his shots, both of them threes, on his way to 6 points. And the same guys did not play as the first game. Once again, McKinney, Jones, Robinson, Sumner, and Ngbogu injured. Moore and Utoff, just coach's decision not to play. But the two games kind of told me the same thing. Outside of Leaf getting hot, the team kind of looked similar. The starters are a little off their shooting games right now. But, you know, just in general, the team's kind of as advertised. They're just playing kind of well, slash they're playing not the A teams of these other rosters. I'm, of course, cautiously optimistic at how the chemistry's looked. But at the same time, it's preseason. And, of course, you have to hold pause. Looking ahead, they play the Detroit Pistons tomorrow, or actually tonight. You'll be listening to this on Monday in Detroit. And Nate McMillan has already informed us that Victor Oladipo, Bojan, Miles Turner, and Thaddeus Young will not be playing. Collison is the only starter who's going to play, which is interesting. But he said he wants to get more time for some of the guys who hasn't played yet. He said, notably, Big Al, and I forget the other one in his interview. But I think you're going to see some Ben Moore and some Jared Utoff in this game tonight. So that's something to watch out for, just because those two guys are fighting for roster spots and we're playing really hard, which is good to see. Something to watch, again, is the rebounding tonight, against especially a guy like Andre Drummond, who's just a beast on the glass. Hopefully the Pacers can box out and put it together and get some boards. But I've liked what I've seen so far. I'm cautiously optimistic that this means something, but it might just be that they played 2 preseason games against 2 C-level rosters. But again, we have a nice big slate of content coming out for you guys this week. After you hear this pod tomorrow, Adam will be back from his trip, and we will be talking to you about what we saw in a little more depth this preseason. This has just kind of been my thoughts. I'm sure he disagrees with me on something. And we're also going to do another one on Tuesday after the game against the Israeli team, whose name is escaping me. I even looked it up and I couldn't figure it out fast enough. But regardless, that's what we're going to do. Wednesday, Adam will do an update on his own. Thursday, I'll have an interview coming out for you guys with a special guest that I don't want to inform you yet. Friday, we'll both do an update together. And then next week, we will be preparing for the regular season. So this is our last preseason week. Also, one more thing to look out for, the Locked On NBA podcast tomorrow. I have a little 5-minute segment just previewing the Pacers and a few couple questions a lot of fans have. So check that out as well. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Remember, the cheat code is LONBA for $20 off your first purchase. Hope you guys have a great week. Thanks for listening. Also, recommend this to your friends. We're back on our normal Twitter. We remember the password. It's at Locked On Pacers with no underscore. Adam is at Friedman Adam 5, and I'm at T East NBA. Have a great, great.